You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We're back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Browns fans, don't miss the excitement and action live at First Energy Stadium. Now's the first chance to secure your Cleveland Browns 2015 season tickets by placing your deposit today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Now let's go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Scott, this one Thursday night, huge. How big of a game is this to you? Where does this stack up in the games that the Browns have played since they've been back? And what are your expectations?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's probably second to the Cincinnati game at the end of 2007. If the Browns had won, they would have been in the playoffs. You know, obviously we're only halfway home, so it doesn't have that quite a magnitude.
Sure.
But I don't think they've played a bigger game since then. You know what? And I expect a really close game. I think the injuries on both sides of the ball might contribute to some sloppy play, the short week, the quick turnaround. But I think it's going to be close and come down to somebody making a play in the fourth quarter.
Scott, again, you've spent a brief amount of time in the last 2 days since that win over Tampa Bay in the locker room. Can you sense that excitement in that locker room from the players? And also, too, second half of the question is, do you feel that they have that chip on their shoulder of what they want to showcase at 5-3, a new Browns era moving forward at primetime as well?
Yeah, definitely. I do think the short week kind of takes some of that away just because guys are trying to rehab their bodies and they're trying to study film. And you know, yesterday there weren't a ton of guys in the locker room because practice wasn't until, you know, 7 o'clock at night. But the guys you talk to, they know how big it is. They appreciate the magnitude of the game, and they also appreciate the fact that the Browns haven't been here in a while. And I think it means something to them to go out and say to the rest of the league, you know what, this 5-3 record isn't a fluke. We belong in the discussion of playoff-caliber teams, and they belong in the discussion of AFC North contenders. So I do think they're trying to send a message to the rest of the league Thursday night.
Yeah, I think they will as well. And somebody trying to send a message prior to the game was Greg Little. What did you think of his comments? And I imagine it's going to end up ultimately being bigger news in Cincinnati with players being like, shut up. Come on.
You were the eighth leading receiver on the football team,
right,
that cast you off.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just Greg being Greg, I think. You know, I mean, he was here for a long time. Got to know him a little bit, and he was a great talker. No matter what, he was always a good talker to the media, and obviously his play didn't live up to his words. I think something that will be forgotten unless he has a big drop or makes a big play, and then we'll revisit it. But like you guys said, I mean, he's way down the list of options for Andy Dalton. You know, if you're the Browns, you got to be much more concerned with A.J. Green and then Sanu.
That's right. They will have a tough go with those two especially. But I do believe our back end is playing well. Scott, walk us into how do you see the running back situation here in Cleveland that is always going to be a topic until, you know, Nathan gets what he wants and Crow gets his carries. Is there any word on how that's going to break down moving forward into Cincinnati on a short week?
No, you know what? We don't know. We talked to Mike Pettine about it Monday, you know, and he said that Isaiah Crowell isn't in any kind of doghouse, and he's in good standing. They just wanted to get Terrence West some more carries last week. I'm fascinated to see how that plays out Thursday night. I think, you know, I expect Ben Tate to continue to get the start. Now, how many carries that means, I don't know. On a short week, I would not be surprised to see him go back to three backs just for some fresh legs. And, you know, maybe they're saving Isaiah Crowell, and they think this will be a good week to spring him on the Bengals, and if he's fresh and you get a little banged up defense and they're hurting at linebacker, maybe he's a guy that can get some carries. But it was obvious last week that the coaching staff wanted to get Terrence West the ball. For whatever reason, they liked him better than Crowell last week, so I don't think they're going to abandon Terrence West, you know, by any stretch.
I think Terrence West right now looks like he has a chance to be the lead back. I do want to see Crow, but we'll see what happens on Thursday night. 8 games in, always a good time to reflect on what you've seen. 5-3, Scott, where did you think this team would be after 8 games, and who has been your first half MVP?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I picked them to win 6 games. So, you know, probably 3-5. You know, I know the schedule's a little softer up front, but I don't think I expected them to go 4-4 at the midway point just because there's so many adjustments, new coach, new everything. You just didn't know how they were going to react. So obviously the record's better than I thought it would be, and I think it's better than most people thought it would be. And, you know, at the halfway point, I've been thinking about that. The MVP, I think I'd have to go with Brian Hoyer just because it's the most important position. He's made some big plays in the fourth quarter. And if you look across the rest of the team, you know, I think maybe Tayshaun Gibson, he's had a big influence, obviously, back there. Joe Thomas, I think, has played really well. But kind of every other position, just kind of like they're ham and egging it. You know, Andrew Hawkins has a couple good games, and then Gabriel makes a play. I'm not sure there's any other play that's had the impact that Brian Hoyer has.
You're right, and I don't think there's anything wrong with ham and egging it either because it's resulting in wins. Scott, yesterday we heard from General Manager Ray Farmer. I'm sure you were there paying close attention, got a couple of your questions in. What is your overall assessment of what he said at his kind of mid-season State of the Union talk?
Yeah, you know, I think it was interesting. He didn't really give us a whole lot of clarity on several topics. You know, he was complimentary of Johnny. I thought what stuck out to me was that they don't want to rush Johnny Manziel onto the field unless everything around him is perfect. The situation, he wants it to be perfect. And I don't know if that's Ray, you know, kind of sending a message to Brian Hoyer's agent or just putting it out there that if they don't get a contract done with Brian Hoyer in the offseason, that they're comfortable moving forward with Johnny Manziel, which you would figure because they drafted him in the first round. You know, and then he talked about Josh Gordon and said that they don't know if they'll necessarily disrupt the offense with Josh Gordon back. You won't see him force the ball to Josh, but I'm not sure anybody expected that. But I still expect Josh Gordon to have a big impact when he returns. So, you know, and then I think the other thing is when Ray sat down, he said, you know, I don't even want to talk to you guys during the season. It's a coaches and players kind of thing. So he wants to fade right back into the background.
Well, I think that's exactly what he wants to do. When you open your comments with, I don't really know why I'm here, I'd like to be short and sweet. I think that's what Ray Farmer would certainly like to do there. Big game Thursday night, Scott. You know, we want to see the Browns get it done, but what's the one thing that concerns you the most headed into this game?
You know what, I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you run defense. Jeremy Hill obviously had a big game last week. I think the Browns have gotten incrementally better. I'm not sure they're where they need to be is a run defense. And then Sanu, like we mentioned, you know, I like Joe Hayden against a little banged up A.J. Green. Joe's been playing really well. And I know Buster fights like as hard as anybody, but that's a tough matchup. So I think if Buster can handle Sanu and Sanu doesn't have a huge game, then I think the Browns are going to be right in this thing at the end.
And Scott, so that being said, is I guess project, what is your forecast for the football game and your score?
Yeah, you know what? I just went over it, and I'm got the Browns winning the close one. I think 2019 is what I went with. You know, I think Brian Hoyer's going to make a play in the fourth quarter, and then the Browns probably turn over Andy Dalton late, and that's the difference in the game.
Scott, throw your microphone on the ground and walk off on a high note like George Costanza right there. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll see you down in Cincinnati. Hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When we return here, we will get into some sound from the locker room yesterday. Continue to take your calls and your tweets, 216-578-0850. Willie McGinnis at 2:30 from the NFL Network. And Matt and I will tell you what concerns us the most about the Bengals, what the matchup is that could decide Thursday's game, and give out our midway point MVP on the Browns, all coming up this second hour. All the right junk
in all the right places. I see the Browns play here. Your radio home for Cleveland Browns football is ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland.